Blog Talk Radio. sure I'm audible? All right, I think I can hear myself, and I think you can hear me too. Peace, love, and light to everybody within the sound of my voice. Happy Monday, happy Monday, and welcome. Bienvenidos. Bienvenue. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Black Alice in Wonderland. I am your host, Queen Amina, and we're going to get into it tonight, honey. All right, first off, I just want to continue to wish happy, happy birthday to all of the Aries in the house. All the Aries in the house. Okay, my girl Mary Wormworth has a birthday coming up tomorrow. Happy birthday, Queen. Happy birthday to everybody who is celebrating a birthday right now. Cousin Dexter, happy birthday to you. All of us wonderful Aries, all of us beautiful rams and lambs. Just blessings, love, and light. You know, no offense to any other sign, but, you know, I'm just being partial to myself. In any event, yeah, interesting weather we're having, you know, living up here in the mountains. We have snow. It just stopped a little while ago. Actually, I think it might still be falling, but it's really light. But, yeah, snow. We've got snow in the mountains on the 18th of April. Awesome. I hope y'all got your taxes in because today was tax day. I know a lot of y'all can file for an extension. But, you know, if you got it in, good, and hopefully you'll get back lots of money, okay? Lots of money. Lord knows we're all due a little benefit at some point. So much has been happening, and, you know, I know financial ease sometimes definitely brings joy to people's lives. So I wish you prosperity. Let's see. I have so much on my mind, as I mentioned in the edit, so please fasten your chin straps tonight. I'm going to go into a lot of stuff because some of it was stuff that I just have in my mind, or, you know, on my mind myself, as well as things that would you might even be thinking about from time to time. So, yeah. Can you hear me? My husband, the sound technician. Because it sounded fine on the computer. So, first off, you know there's been a lot going on with the January 6th committee. They have been grilling and interviewing and just trying to get as much information as they can out of the many different individuals who participated in the day, as well as those who advertised or purported that they should come out and protest in regards to former President Trump's election. You know, they want to keep calling it that, you know, that he won, all this other kind of stuff. He didn't win, y'all. Sorry. But in any event, the weasel who, those of you who've been following me for a couple of years, y'all know I could not stand Stephen Miller. I can't stand Stephen Miller. I'm sorry. Something about him. His aura is really nasty. His vibe is horrible, and I was right on point because when he got married a couple of years ago, a lot of his family members were protesting his wedding that they weren't going to come. One of his uncles, I believe, was a rabbi who, I believe, donated money in his name to families who were dealing with the border crisis, okay, because he was the one that was in charge of a lot of deportation and a lot of mistreatment of people and children and separating families at the border during the Trump administration. So, he had an eight-hour grilling, 8 hours, okay? He had to give 8 hours of testimony to the January 6th committee. And he was definitely a piece about it. And when I say a piece, I mean he was, okay, great. He was he was a little cantankerous at parts. I think the word that they used was chippy. He was a little chippy at some times, and I was like, oh, chippy? So we already know he's got a really funky attitude, but this grown man at one point actually tried not to have his phone records investigated because he was concerned for his parents. Why was he concerned for his parents? Because he's still on their family plan, according to him. So he didn't want anything negative to happen to them because of the phone records being in their name. Really? The head of Homeland Security and deporting individuals from the southern border doesn't have his own phone account. Okay, so that was interesting. He's a very evil person. I'm sorry. You could see it in his face. Maybe he's upset because his hairline is receding and he's really not that attractive. Maybe he's upset about that. But he did everything that he could to keep those children away from their parents, and we still have not been able to reunite a lot of those families. A lot of those children, Lord knows where they went. I have a feeling that they probably found their way into trafficking, whether it be regular human trafficking for work or sex trafficking. That is a very large industry. And if you have undocumented children, you've separated one-year-olds and two-year-olds from their parents, they will not recognize their parents. They may not really recognize their parents if they are reunited. I saw several stories where some of the children were reunited. They didn't even know who their mother was. They were afraid of her because they had been away from her for so long. So these are the things that we're dealing with. And I thought it was deep that he had an eight-hour testimony to the January 6th committee, which would then lend itself to just how involved he was, because we know a lot of these individuals, whether they're Republican Congress and or senators, and individuals in White House staff at the time, were definitely a part of putting together the whole insurrection, the whole day, that January 6th day. A lot of people were involved. And it really goes deep and it gets a little murky, because you have sitting Congress people, sitting senators who were involved in this process. So they're going to continue to do their investigations, but the spawn of Satan, Stephen Miller, definitely had his day, and I don't think it went really well. I don't think it went well for him, let's just say that. Moving forward, the state of Kentucky, which is Mitch McConnell's state, I don't really call him Mitch. I replaced the first letter of his name with a B. Y'all can fill that in when you feel like it. But the state of Kentucky has banned legal abortion. I'm like, what year is this? Is it 1942? What is going on? Insanity has hit this particular state, and it's spreading like wildfire. Okay, last week, Florida Governor DeSantis banned abortions after 15 weeks. Cases of rape or incest. I had a big WTF I let out after I heard that one. I was like, what? Even in cases of rape or incest, they do not want to admit this. However, melanin recessive individuals, a.k.a. whitey, no offense to anyone who's melanin recessive, they're panicking because they are at minus birth rate. Minus. Eight other states are also pushing for this and pressing to have state governments have the final say on whether abortion will be legal in their states. I can smell their fear of genetic annihilation, okay, because their time is up. Remember, they only had 6,000 years, honey, 6,000 years, and the proverbial alarm bell rang on that bad boy a few years ago. So we're seeing the panic turn up. We are also seeing, yet again, mistreatment as well as no concern for women, especially their own women. I've covered this before, and I'm going to go into a little bit deeper in this episode, but they don't revere their women as equal or even worthy individuals on the face of this planet. You can see that in legislation. You can see that in the unequal pay that women receive compared to men in the same position. You could see this in the fact that women weren't allowed to vote. What I'm talking about goes very much against African mores and folkways, because in Africa, Africa was predominantly, and in some places still, a matriarchal society. And so women are held in high regard. Why? Because the Africans had enough sense to realize that if there were no women, there'd be no babies, and if there'd be no babies, then there'd be no people. Because woman, if you will, had the ability and has the ability to procreate and bring forth life from her own body. That in itself put her in a very high standing throughout all of ancient Africa and other ancient societies, including Native American cultures and Native American clans. Native American history is not patriarchal. It's very matriarchal. The clan mother is the head of the clan. The clan father is under her. So I'm saying this because sometimes we get this idea that white people, especially white men, just love their women and blah, blah, blah. No, they don't. No, they don't. They'll put her in front of them to catch a bullet in a minute. They do not care about Becky. I'm telling you right now. I've seen it throughout history. They don't. That's why women had to fight for us to get so many rights in this country. And so here we are, many decades after Roe versus Wade, which was the original Supreme Court case to legalize abortion in this country, we're seeing a great retard. And I honestly feel that it is because the melanin recessive individuals are at minus birth rate. So they do not want any of their little young women or any other women to abort those babies because those babies should be going into population. And the control is so intense. You're seeing many, many protests all around this country. You're seeing protests in the given states as well as protests in other states. It's insane at this point. And I'm going to say this just for posterity's sake. My body is my body. No man or even another woman can tell me what to do with my body. And if the opportunity or the situation avails itself where a woman becomes pregnant and does not want to carry that baby to full term for whatever reason she may have. She may not be financially ready. She may not be mentally ready. She may not have the space and time in her life to give to raising a child because we know that raising children is a 24-hour gig. And a lot of women are like, I'm not up for that. I don't want to do that. I'm doing other things, or I wish to have a significant partner. So you're going to tell a woman that even if she's raped by a strange man or a member of her family, that she would have to be pressed to have this child? That means you care nothing about the woman, nothing. Because God forbid a woman is raped, and she knows that she does not want to carry that baby because that baby is out of a horrific act. She doesn't have the right. She does not have the right to want to not have that baby, let alone what happens to a woman's body when she does become pregnant. We all very well know. We've seen it, okay? Your organs get displaced. Everything stretches out. A lot of pain, a lot of swelling. I mean, you know, it's a gift when babies are born. I think that that's fantastic. But I also am one who believes that if a woman or a young girl does not want to have that child, that she should not be forced to bring that baby to full term to have it. I just don't believe that. Not to mention, what type of energy is she going to be giving that fetus during the time of its gestation? What is that? I hate this baby. I wish this baby would die. Those are things that might come through my mind if I, God forbid, was raped and impregnated by the rapist. The psychology and the mental strain. I mean, y'all out there that have children and wanted to have them knew about the mental strain and the physical strain of having a baby. At the same time, God bless you, you went on, you had beautiful children. I am here as a result of a woman who wanted to have another child. That's a beautiful thing. I used to want to have four children. I wanted to have four babies. Yes, I did. I wanted to get swole and all that four times. But at this age, oh no, I'm done. I don't want to have children anymore. I'm too old. I don't want to do that. So I'm saying this to say, can it not be my choice? That's intense to me that you have these old white men in these powers of these positions of power, excuse me, who want to dictate and tell a woman what to do with her vagina, with her uterus, and with her body, with her mind, her soul, her spirit. Really? And I've covered this before because one episode was a couple of years ago and I talked about some of the most insane statements that Congress individuals, mainly men, and senators had to say about if a woman does get pregnant after a rape, like as if her body could just shut it off and she couldn't get pregnant because she was raped. Or, you know, it's not such a big deal. Excuse me? I want to hear that. I want to, if a man, I know I'm being out the box right now, but if a man could be raped, sodomized, and become pregnant, you think he want to hold that? You think he want to keep that? A, he wouldn't want anybody to know he was raped. B, he definitely wouldn't want to be carrying that in the full term. You understand what I'm saying? I know I'm stretching it, but I'm just saying, put the shoe on the other foot. This is wild. And with the situation in Florida that you can't get an abortion after 15 weeks, a lot of women don't even know they're pregnant until 15 weeks or more. Depending on how their cycle runs, some people, you know, they might skip a cycle, their cycle is late, it fluctuates, whatever. 15 weeks can go by, you cannot have your cycle and not realize that you're pregnant. Yes. So this is intense to me. Again, like I said, we're seeing the panic turn up, you know, and there's more to it. I'm going to keep going, all right? Now, next story. Whew, this one hits my heart kind of hard. On April 4th, Patrick Leoya, 26 years old, Congolese man, okay, came to America with his family for a better life, okay? He's the father of two children. On April 4th, this man was killed after a traffic stop in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He was pulled over because the plates on his vehicle did not match the vehicle. Okay, so he complied by pulling over. He exited the vehicle even though he wasn't supposed to. They kept yelling for him to get back in the car, but I think that there was a serious language barrier. A chase ensued after he went to retrieve his driver's license, but instead he closed the door to the vehicle after speaking with someone on the passenger side of the car and begins to walk away. To me, it looks like he was walking around to the passenger side. That's what it looked like to me, because he kind of hugged the side of the car. If he was walking away, then to me, he's going to walk away from the vehicle. It didn't look like that in the video, and I studied the video at least 5 times. So I'm looking at it, and I'm like, okay, he closes the door very, very, he doesn't close the door dramatically. He's not running. He just closes the door, and he's like he's about to walk around to the other side of the car. He's about to walk around the front of the car to get to the passenger side, maybe to go to the glove box or whatever. In any event, he wasn't even allowed to do that, and because I think there's a language barrier, it just got worse from that point. So they go to apprehend him. They're struggling with him. He runs away. They catch up to him. They are struggling with him. At this point, the officer now pulls out his yellow taser. Now, the proximity of Mr. Leoya and the officer is so close that, yeah, Mr. Leoya gets to grab the taser. Would you not? I would. I'm sorry. If I see it pointed towards me and I know you're getting ready to shoot me with it, I may do my natural instinct, my natural reflexes may be, if I can grab it, I'm going to get it out of my way. I see him moving it. He's not trying to take it. I see him just trying to divert it away from him. As the taser is going off, he doesn't seem to be struck by it. At this point, they get into a tussle and fall onto the ground. At which point you hear the officer say, release the taser, you know, whatever, drop the taser. But still in all, in what I can see, I don't see Mr. Leoya with the taser in his hand. What I see is his left arm coming out to support him, and his right arm is, like, kind of crushed under him. So even if he had the taser, if it's under him in his right hand, he's only going to tase himself. Just saying. At this point, the officer then climbs like up onto his back, takes his own right hand out, reaches back for his firearm on his back right side, takes his firearm out and shoots Mr. Leoya in the back of the head. Now, again, how in God's name does a traffic stop escalate into something as horrible as this? This, to me, seems worse than the case with, what was his name, Dante, I can't remember his last name, I may be wrong, but the young brother who was at a traffic stop last year, got pulled over, and the officer who shot and killed him thought she had her taser, so she says. Meanwhile, she's in jail now. But officer of the law, your reaction, your response, your action towards this individual, even if he's trying to flee, so what? Like that's the first time somebody tries to flee. You have to kill him? You shoot him point blank in the back of the head as if he was like an animal. It's so disturbing. And it's not a coincidence that this is happening yet again right before summertime. Okay, so now we get, everybody's going to get all riled up again, Black Lives Matter, la, 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 la. We're going to get all excited again in the summertime. Not to say that it's for no reason, of course not. But it's just interesting to me how these things happen right before summer. It's almost an annual event at this point. I don't even think he's going to be the last one for this season because two, and maybe this year we'll have another two or however many more, until law enforcement gets some type of training where it is not their first instinct to kill us. We're not talking about somebody with a criminal record. We're not talking about somebody who's shiesty. And this brother went to work, took care of his children, was dedicated to his family. His mother and his father are so devastated. Rightly so. But I swear, every time I see it, I see an execution happen. I see an execution happening over a traffic stop, over mixed plates. He's dead. His children will not know their father anymore. And he was dedicated to his children. His mother and father will mourn him, as well as the rest of his family. And, you know, the other day I got a little choked up and I was talking about it because I said, you know, children are the ones who are supposed to bury their parents. Their parents are supposed to get old, and we bury our parents when they make their transition. This is the way it's supposed to go. Parents are not supposed to be burying their children, and especially in a situation like this. So what, the tag didn't match the car. You impound the car, you give the person a ticket, and you keep it moving. Why did you have to shoot him? Why? I just don't see that. Even tasing him was unnecessary, completely unnecessary. And I'm not saying that he was tased, but the fact that the officer had to pull something out, why are you pulling stuff out? You can't apprehend somebody on your own? I've seen that done. I've seen police struggle to put handcuffs on an assailant without killing him. So here we go again. And we got to wake up. We, as melanin-dominant people, so-called black people, I don't like to call us black because that is not a good term for us historically and legally. It's not a good term for us, but I know that that's where most of y'all still are. So for the sake of understanding, I will use the word. But realizing, and I keep saying it over and over again, when you call yourself black, you're calling yourself the lowest human being on the planet because black is a status. White is a status. You have melanin-dominant people who classify themselves as white in the eyes of the law. It doesn't mean they have that they're melanin recessive and that they appear to be white. Okay? Doesn't mean that. It means in the eyes of the law, I am a right human being. And being black in the color of law means that you are not. Y'all, we got to come together on that for real. I don't even know how long that's going to take because y'all still stuck. But I'm telling you, with everything you have, especially if you look up Taj Tariq Bey, TajTarikBey on YouTube. All right, he's a Moor. Look up the Moorish Nation. Look up the real Kush Day, CushDey on Instagram. Look up these individuals, okay, because they're giving you real, real knowledge and truth about the law. Okay, there's also the Bureau Bullies on Instagram. There are many other videos and sites and information where you can learn about the color of law. And when you get an understand and overstand and understand the color of law, maybe then you'll take that out of your mouth and you won't call yourself that. I don't care if you call yourself indigenous or if you call yourself a Moor, okay? There's nothing wrong with that. You could be a Moor without being in the Moorish nation. It just meant that you're a person of color here in this hemisphere of North America. We are a very amazing people, but when we put titles on ourselves that delineate us and depreciate us, that's not going to fly. So that's just a sidebar, but we as melanin-dominant people have got to get ourselves together. We have to. I'm just trying to say. Okay? And like I said, if we as melanated people don't wake up and see the totality of discrimination against us worldwide, we might not make it. And we're supposed to make it because if we're not on this planet, nobody else will be alive on this planet. We are original humans. We are the original humans of this planet. And if we were to all just dissipate and go away, trust me, every other entity on this planet will fall. That's for sure. In the meantime, we got over 100,000 Ukrainians who could possibly be neo-Nazis coming over here, but that seems to be okay. Okay? Many of those individuals have ideologies that are extremely racist and bizarre. And I am not taking my points from Vladimir Putin. I'm taking my points from live video. Independence Day parades when they give it, where they're throwing up the Nazi hand signs. They got Nazi emblems and things on their flags, and these people are able to just walk with the rest of the people in the Independence Day. Interesting. I said this before. It's like if we had neo-Nazis and KKK and Adam Waffen walking in our Independence Day, quote, you know, so to speak, for 1776 and what have you on July 4th. And they were able to just throw up all their stuff, or the KKK could wear all their hoods and march. No. No, 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 no. So people get excited when they hear Vladimir Putin call Ukrainians neo-Nazis and racist individuals. That is a fact. And I am not excited about all of them coming over here. I'm not. Especially when people want to praise Joe Biden and his disgusting behind, but fail to realize that he's been deporting thousands of asylum seekers at the southern border who are melanin dominant, okay? Haitians, Brazilians, Central American people, people from, you know, South America, the whole nine, they are being shipped right back home, okay? I hope you're following me because I smell a rat. You know, we're not looked at as being important enough. We're not looked at as being valid enough, even though the culture vultures continue to steal everything they can from us. I watched the insurance commercial today. They're playing hip-hop. Turned on the Weather Channel, Weather Underground on the Weather Channel. They were reciting the words to the Cupid Shuffle. Come on, y'all. And if it wasn't the Cupid Shuffle, it was another one of those little line dances that they do. But I know she was talking about, she was like, to the left, to the left. Really? Anyway, Yes, indeed. My sisters hit me up. She said, yep, it's a setup for the race war. It is a setup for the race war. And if there's really going to be one, are we really ready? I don't think that we are. We have certain factions in other states and stuff where you're able to, you know, either have a firearm legally or you can conceal carry. But, you know, those of us that are in major metropolitan areas are not allowed to have that. It's against the law to have a firearm in certain areas, especially in, like, New Jersey, New York, Connecticut. So how are you going to defend yourself? When these people got an arsenal of stuff, they go into the woods every weekend and practice target shooting, okay? Are we doing that? No. We're trying to figure out how to twerk and how to do the best dance and how to get the bag. Really? You're going to be in a bag? I keep saying it over and over again. Like, the time has come for us to come out of the cities. The time has come for us to come together. Whether you have your own little commune or you know, a lot of us are buying property together in the South and coming together and building our houses and living in one huge area of like 20 acres, 18 acres. That's awesome. That is fantastic. Where I am, we are amongst like-minded individuals. Okay? We have a nice arsenal because we can legally. It was too funny. My husband was talking to the sheriff about when he first went to get his CCW about how many firearms can he actually have. He's like, how many can I have? The sheriff was like, how many can you carry? Like, you can have as many as you want. He was like, wow, okay. Okay, we have friends that make their own ammunition. It's not a game, boo-boo. It's not a game. So if it does come down and it does hit the fan, I'm giving you instructions. Get out of the city. Get out. Y'all should have figured that out with COVID, but some of y'all wanted to stay. Get out. Save your money so you can get out of the city because that's where it's going to pop. And it's not going to be pretty. And you can see that already. Just a tad. You can see it. I know you can. We've got to be mindful of these things and beware of the other propaganda, because if you pay attention to the mainstream media, they will pull at your heartstrings for all the people in Ukraine, blah, 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 blah. And I'm not being maniacal. I do not wish war on anyone. I don't. The devastation that they're experiencing, no, I don't wish it on anyone. I really don't. But I know things happen for a reason. Nothing happens in a vacuum. And a lot of the footage that I have seen and the commentary that I've heard from them specifically about being white supremacists and nationalists, and they sit on it. This is what they want. They want it. This is their thing. So that's why Billy and Tommy from over here want to get on a plane with no military experience and go over there to fight with these people. Again, I have said, that's not a good idea. Not only does your nation not know that you're there, the consulate barely knows that you're there, and if you die, you can't be accounted for. But they're trying to go and help their brothers and sisters over there. Why? Because they share a common ideology. It's not just a mission of, let me help because they're being desecrated, it's terrible. No, no, that ain't it. We are seeing a true beginning of race war, a race war. Yes, we are. Even though it seems a little late in the game for me, especially with all the beige children that we have here in this nation. Okay, we already know most of the interracial marriages happen in the armed forces. There are more interracial couples on bases across this country. Okay, then it's just what you have. Look at the sports and entertainment arena. You have a lot of interracial marriages in that. Shoot, in baseball, not baseball so much, in basketball and football, they prey on the young black men. And they push them to marry a non-black person. They push them. Who runs these things? Who runs these institutions? So if melanin-receptive people run these institutions and they're pushing our young black men to marry non-black women, what does that say to you? It's deep. Meanwhile, we're talking about people who, again, have no real revere for their own women. Not so much. Sorry. Not so much. Maybe they may get mad if somebody tries to take her. But when it comes to abuse, whether it's spousal abuse, whether it's date abuse, the highest proportion of offense is committed by white men, melanin recessive men. Okay? I'm moving on real quick so you can get where I'm really coming from. And thank you, KK, for hitting me up. I love when y'all hit me while I'm doing the show because I don't mind sharing your thoughts and extra comments with regard to what I'm talking about. I don't mind at all. So I don't know how many of you were able to participate and or watch the Playboy series that was on A&E. It was running for several weeks, and it went into the life of Hugh Hefner and the Playboy Mansion, Playboy as an Empire, especially the sexually illicit behavior and the sex crimes and all kind of stuff that went on at the Playboy Mansion, at different Playboy resorts and Playboy clubs around the country and in the Caribbean. So what I got out of it, I got two things out of it. One of them was that, again, how much melanin recessive, a.k.a. white men, have no revere or respect for their own women. They just don't. I found it very interesting that they still managed to throw famous melanin-dominant men under the bus, but Mr. Hefner was a cretin, okay? Hugh Hefner was a nasty ass. I'm saying it. He was gross in no small way. He was disgusting. He was a pimp. He was a hoe, he was a voyeur, and he was a major mind manipulator. Yes, and he was a pimp and a hoe. Real talk, he was, okay? Wait for it. And then it's deep because, you know, you look at R. Kelly, and I'm like, R. Kelly comes nowhere close to Hugh Hefner, okay? But he's the one in prison. I'm not saying that he should not be. But between Hefner and his close friends and his liaisons, R. Kelly looks like a Boy Scout. Okay? What I also learned after watching the series was that melanin recessive, a.k.a. white women, also have no respect for themselves or other women in Hefner's world. From 1953, with the Marilyn Monroe calendar, Playboy calendar, all the way to 2017, Hugh Hefner pimped and manipulated and abused white women. No one cared. Now, of course, his platform was, oh, it's all about sexual freedom and the sexual revolution, but the only ones that benefited from the revolution were the men. The women were often held against their will in his house. They were drugged repeatedly. They were forced to perform homosexual acts on each other and have anal sex unprotected with him at his whim. They even went so far as to talk about how oftentimes there were no sheets on the bed, all kind of stains all over the bed, which we know is DNA. Nobody has any brains to just say no, go home, walk away, you know, just pimping these chicks out. And in their mind, if they get a $1,000 a week allowance, then they don't feel like they're being pimped out. But you're being pimped out, punkin. You're getting raped. You're getting thrown into the room and handcuffed and having to crawl on all fours like a dog and perform fellatio on all these different men. And I mean, it's off the chain. And I deliberately followed the series. You know me. I'm the psychological sociologist, so I'm looking at this from a sociological standpoint. I'm looking at this from a standpoint of research and how it is that black women continue to get thrown under the bus for being over-sexual and what have you, when there was nothing but white hoes in this house. There's some hoes in this house. I'm sorry. There was nothing but white women that were grossly accosted. You did have one black bunny who was raped at a gathering by a Playboy Key Club member. But that was outside. I'm talking about what's going on, and that was, I mean, a horrible situation indeed. But there were no other melanin-dominant bunnies that were accosted. Everybody else that was accosted was white. They were white women. They were just treated like chattel. They were treated like toys. They were literally passed off from one Hollywood star to one NFL to whoever on a regular basis. Even like rich Jewish doctors who had their own children would be hoeing up in the Playboy Mansion with these children. Some of them were underage. But yet and still, the objectified sexual object of our day and time is always the black woman. Nah, boo-boo. No, 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 no. And with the wealth that Hugh Hefner had, think about the racket. You have the magazine. The magazine is generating millions of dollars, okay, for this individual and for Playboy Incorporated. Then you had the Playboy clubs. There was one in Manhattan. They were all over, okay? You had resorts, Great Gorge, Jamaica West Indies even. You had Playboy resorts. Bunnies everywhere. White men with a little bit of money, maybe even not so much power, but money had their way with so many of these women. All of them talk about being raped by all these different people. All of them talk about the different things that Hugh Hefner himself did to them, and that he had an actual video catalog of everybody having sex with everybody. Work. At one point, I believe it was Tony Curtis, the actor Tony Curtis, who had found out that his sexual shenanigans had been taped, videotaped. His people tried to reach out to Hefner's people to be like, okay, we want those tapes, and discard of any other thing with his image on it, because a lot of the men didn't know that they were being taped. They take a hole upstairs. They don't know there's a camera in the bookcase, and you're about to be, you know, on film. He had a whole library. It was a room full of nothing but videotapes of all the sexual shenanigans of all these people with these young girls. And yet people looked up to this person? Really? I mean, I did not. But I'm just saying, what? And this is coming from a originally introverted white wealthy boy. Okay, he was pretty young when he first started Playboy, and he started Playboy because he really couldn't get a chick on his own. He had money. You know, he's not very attractive. He's a funny-looking kind of guy with that overhead, that forehead that kind of hangs over like a Cro-Magnon man. You know, he's got no lips. He's not sexy. He doesn't have a nice body. He doesn't have muscles. You know, he didn't look like a Chippendales dancer, okay? And so he used his money to get Playboy. And then he used the power of Playboy to prey on all of these young women for decades. But R. Kelly's in jail. Okay. And I ain't giving R. Kelly a pass. I'm just saying I want you to look at the hypocrisy of it all. That's a lot of hypocrisy. I'm sorry. Like I said, from 1953... to 2017, he was big pimping. And nobody gave a damn. Even with the bunnies that died, one bunny committed suicide, one overdosed, the other one was beaten up and killed by her husband. Even with the bunnies that died, like, nobody cared. It wasn't a big deal. He had so much money and power that these other women who had the audacity to get on camera and talk about these escapades, they were too afraid to go to the police. I'm like, why? You could have gotten your own tape together. You could have done all kinds of things. Y'all could have came together and, like, busted his ass a long time ago. I'm probably sure that's what a bunch of black women would have done. Like, you're not going to keep doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it well. You're not doing it. But he was carrying. And this went all the way into the late 2000s, well, early 2000s, but you get my point. Even when he had the girls next door, okay, with what was her name? Holly whatever and Holly Madison and Kendra and all of them. All those little young white women. You're just exploiting them. You're watching them do each other, and then you're making them do you at how old? 80-some years old? Yo. So I don't have a whole lot of remorse for the young girls, unfortunately. Now, the ones who just went in and they wanted to be waitresses and they did their thing or whatever, maybe they got the occasional squeeze on the butt or rub on the breast or whatever. Okay, if they didn't get accosted, as in locked away in his house and can't get out accosted, or taken somewhere and being taken advantage of or whatever, okay. But if you are in the mansion and you know the game, you're in it to win it, boo-boo, you're sticking around. Why are you sticking around? If the man didn't physically beat you up, real talk, if he didn't have a knife to your throat or a gun to your head, why did you stay? So you knew you were a hoe because you were just getting your money. It was an exchange. That's deep to me. Because they even talked about the competition amongst all the women, because he would have at least 5 to 7 different women in the house that he was sleeping with at one time. Maybe he had one major hoe, and the one major hoe that's in the documentary, which is hilarious, you know, she's just, she looks terrible, but she's, you know, crying, and she's just so upset about what he did to her, and blah, 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 because she was so young. Okay, but I know you have an inkling of common sense that would say to you in each situation, I am not doing the right thing. What I'm doing is not right. I feel funny about it. There's something about it that's not going to feel right. I'm sorry, because if it felt totally fabulous, then there wouldn't have been an expose. You wouldn't have been on the damn television crying. So all this abuse goes on for decades. And they're competing for his affection. They're competing. They're rivals for his affection. For what? Nobody came out of it a millionaire. None of the chicks. None of y'all came out a millionaire. So what were you doing? Y'all were hoeing. Like, that is the end summation I come up with. I have surmised that they were just hoeing. Because if he's not physically abusing you, or you feeling like your life is in danger if you leave, you could go. So what if you're going to be a waitress at a diner or you're serving donuts, whatever, but I'm just saying, you leave. So you put yourself in that situation, and even the one who was a, there were several women that were representatives. They had, like, you know, salaries and jobs for Playboy. Some of them found themselves in precarious positions as well from time to time. But you knew what you were doing. And you're talking about, oh, it was my job to clean the girls up. I'm watching the program, and I'm like, I am watching a brothel. I am watching a whorehouse with the head mother that cleans you up after one of the Johns beats you up, with the head mother who makes sure that everything is okay and that you don't file any reports to the police. That's what I'm watching. I am watching a modern-day whorehouse. And I don't care if you got a silk robe. I don't care if you have valets and people there to clean the house. I don't care. They knew what they were doing. At some point, you knew what you were doing. Not to mention, after the Playboy Mansion began to be so successful with the whoredom, you had mini shadow mansions that would pop up with other rich white men who had mansions and held young girls in these mansions to be their sex slaves. Taking me back to my original statement about how white men don't give a good googamooga about white women. They don't. They treated them like trash. Trash, trash. The trashiest of the trash. But it gains notoriety. It becomes a series on A&E, of which I know they got paid for. You don't really do documentaries like that for weeks on end without a check. So they hold themselves out for the check for that, and then they get to cry and be so upset about all the things that Hef did. Oh, the way Hef treated me. Oh, his attitude. Oh, his this. Oh, his that. But you still got on your knees. You allowed yourself to be swapped out to his friends on a regular basis. The last incident with the girls next door, and I think the other one of the other programs was with these twins. I don't remember their names. They're identical twins. Oh, they were quite cute in their day, okay? Now they're obese, and they're still identical, but they're at least 275 apiece, maybe more, and talking about how they're in therapy and all this other kind of stuff. But when you were 19, you were doing the thing with Hugh Hefner, and now you want to cry. Stop. Like, it's just disgusting to me. If you get a chance, check it out. You know, pop some popcorn, get a glass of wine, honey, sit back and check that out. Because it was deep to me, and I made myself watch it because I really wanted to understand how these young women gave their lives up, gave up their everything. One talking about she was a virgin when she first came. How you go from a virgin to Playboy? When I was a virgin, I wasn't thinking about Playboy. I'm just trying to say. How do you go from being this virtuous, Snow White, Lily White, untouched, and then you're a centerfold? How does that work? Somebody talk to me about that one. You know, and yet and still, they managed in this particular documentary to literally obliterate Bill Cosby and what's his name? Football player. Black man. It's not coming to me at the moment, but maybe one of y'all will hit me with his name. But they want to talk about, you know, all they went through and what have you and how what these black men did to them. But this white man was doing this to you for 20-some years. This white man was doing this to you over and over again. But you just got to throw up the black man, though, right? And I'm still not that convinced about the brothers. Sorry, I'm not. Not in that way, because everybody was doing it. So you want to just call out the two? I think it was Jim Brown. They want to call out Jim Brown. I'm like, Jim Brown, the freedom fighter for black people after he retired from the NFL and even during his time in the NFL, who was really, really pro-black and just, you know, fighting for our rights and, you know, meeting with the Panthers in L.A. Really? Nope. So, again, you know, it's like the white hole is supposed to be more clean than the black hole. No, baby. No. Y'all did your work. Y'all got it in. And then you wait until the man dies to talk about all of this. Because if you had any gumption, you would have talked about this and you would have exposed him while he was alive. The man died at, like, what, 90-something? He was getting it in. And now you want to talk about it? Stop. So that's interesting to me. You know, women were just not safe in his presence at all. Now, the late Dr. Frances Cress Welsin, she mentions this in, you know, with regard to, like, misogynistic behavior and what have you, and the mistreatment of women, white women, by white men. Because I'm telling you right now, if a bank robbery is going down and the couple is in there, that white man might put that wife in front of him to receive that bullet before him. They don't hold their women up that high. Black men do. Brothers hold their sisters up. I do not see white men holding white women up. I don't see it. I've been on this planet for a minute. I don't see it. I mean, I say hold up. I mean revere, admire, respect, adore, outwardly, even publicly. I don't see that. So whole weeks on end documentary about one of the wealthiest white men who was so perverted and so, he was a narcissist. To me, he was a sociopath in certain instances because of the ways in which he operated, and he was, you know, him even being a voyeur and having tapes on everybody, which then took me back to, what's his name? J. Edgar Hoover, because J. Edgar Hoover used to have tapes on everybody. He would spy on his friends when he was a young boy. He would spy on his friends. He would write articles and write things about people and talk about what people did and things like that. And we all know he was crazy as a bedbug. The man was half black, never wanted to admit it, hated black people. He was a closet homosexual, but the homosexuals that he would be with would be black men. Are you following me a little bit on just how maddening these things are with these people? I'm going to say that again about you. I'm not Hugh Hefner, about J. Edgar Hoover, because y'all might not really understand. J. Edgar Hoover, former head and creator of the CIA, was half black, yet he despised black people, as we very well know when it came to Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. Hello? Yet and still, he's a closet homosexual who his only lovers are melanin-dominant men. Look at that for a second, just from a psychological level. That is intense. But yet, that was the head of the CIA. Interesting. And it wasn't like they didn't know. They knew he was gay. They investigated him themselves. They have many a picture of him in Miami and Palm Beach with his brown lovers. I'm just trying to put you in the mindset of these so-called powerful melanin recessive, a.k.a. white men. It's deep. So my question for you, I'm going deep, y'all ready. I have a serious question. Have you ever pondered on why melanin recessive, a.k.a. so-called white people, have such a fixation with death and sex and hell? Have you ever thought about that? You know, Mother's a Reader, okay? There's an amazing book called Ancient Future by Wayne Chandler. I'm going to read two quotes. One is from Charles S. Finch III, M.D. He states, "The enmity toward the mother extends to nature, which is seen as an antagonistic force to be conquered and exploited. Her secrets are turned against her by rampant technology, and the foundation of life crumbles before our eyes. This is the outcome of the mass wars, characteristic of an age dominated by masculine archetypes, each war stepping up the scale of destruction a notch, higher than the previous one. Finally, the attempt to dominate nature has bred a weapons technology that threatens to annihilate all history, all humanity, at a single stroke. It is the masculine archetype run riot, threatening to rend all that exists asunder." Which masculine archetype y'all think he's talking about? Because he's not really talking about black people. Okay? Definitely black men. He's not talking about black men. Excuse me. Next, in a quote from Samir Amin, "Faced with the threat of an untamed primitive humanity, had two choices, blend into nature or deny it. Judaism and its later Christian and Islamic heirs proclaimed the original separation of humankind and nature. The superiority of humankind, made in the image of God, and the submission of nature, soulless and reduced to the object of human action." So, this is deep. According to Wayne Chandler, the preceding quotes by Amin and French and French, provide a current account of humankind's confused perception of nature. But he says humankind, not humanity, but humankind. And a lot of times back in the day, black theorists and black scholars would call white people humankind because they would say they were kind of human. Stay with me. The Indo-European mindset has always seen nature as something to be conquered and controlled. This is evident even in the desire to control weather patterns, natural courses of rivers, the animal species of the world, and the human organism with the use of artificial drugs and devices. The severity of these actions are expressed in various global customs that have pushed humanity to the brink of environmental catastrophe. In 1854, Native American Chief Seattle delivered this address to an American congressional committee whose European constituency had overrun the country, decimating animal and plant life. Chief Seattle says, quote, "This we know, all things are connected, like the blood which unites one family. All things are connected. Teach your children that earth is our mother. Whatever befalls earth befalls the sons and daughters of earth. Man did not weave the web of life. He is merely a strand in it. Whatever he does to the web, he does to himself." End quote. This is what is lost, family. This is just out the window. Because we are inundated by neocolonialism and European colonialism, their detachment from the love of Mother Earth, the love of all living things, animals, humans, plant life, etc. They have slowly changed the mindsets of other peoples. And other peoples have adopted such mindsets. And like animals, you can treat an animal any way you want to, or another human, or a person, or a baby, or a woman, or a man. They could be abused, they could be killed, they could be shot, they could be whatever, without any care, because it's really not that important. And that is so wrong. That goes against all of our Native American principles as well as our ancient African principles. It goes against it completely. Because we have a revere for life. We have a love of nature, which is why I said before, how do you think in Africa we can domesticate lions and hyenas and tigers and not get hurt? Because we love them. Same thing with when we became cowboys, quote unquote, all right? We had a symbiotic relationship with the horses. We loved and we took care of the horses. We knew that we can't just be beating horses and hurting them in order to get them to obey. You love them, and they love you back. Because if your energy isn't right on that horse, you can't ride that horse. That horse will buck you off. Our relationship with horses is really, really deep. And we still have it. Even though it ain't televised, even though, you know, you don't really see it, you don't really hear about it, la, 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 la. But still in all, we have it. So, according to Wayne Chandler, excuse me, this is evident even in genetic engineering and the manipulation of human DNA. Additionally, genetic engineering became a concern of some scientists, especially in the 1950s and 60s, in the field of cancer research. Most cancer viruses were simian or monkey viruses, and the most popular was SV40. SV40 was an uncomplicated viral strain which still posed a perplexing problem to researchers. Relatively harmless to monkeys, it caused cancer when injected into mice, hamsters, and human cells. This is what set the stage for a national catastrophe when millions of Americans were injected with it, as it was inside of the Sabine Salk polio vaccines given prior to 1962. although a spokesperson for the institute that manufactured the vaccine claimed it was an inadvertent contamination, independent private investigations proved otherwise. Does this sound familiar? Mm-hmm. Next came the AIDS man-made virus, which mutated into 6 strains. Remember when they tried to blame it on the African indigenous green monkey? Okay, but it was later found that the genetic makeup of AIDS virus does not exist in man or primates. I'm going to say it again. They tried to blame the AIDS virus on the indigenous green monkey of Africa when later on they found out that the genetic makeup of the AIDS virus does not exist in man or primates. Hence, it was given to humans through the hepatitis B vaccine and other vaccines that were given at the time. Okay? The World Health Organization and the National Cancer Institute are responsible for this and allowed it to incubate in the U.S., Haiti, Brazil, Africa, India, and Southeast Asia. These countries have large melanin-dominant populations. Can you let that marinate for a minute? So this is some real pinky in the brain stuff, okay? These folks are really sick. I don't care how much money they have. I don't care how many letters they have after their name, you know, whatever. These folks are sick, and they're ruling the world and running the world and making everyone obey their orders. Well, everyone but me. I'm not doing it. I'm so happy to live in a sane household. I keep talking to you about that. I'm so serious. I'm so grateful that my husband has brains and that we just do not fall for any okey-doke that comes across the television screen. I'm not doing it. And even when I see it, then that means I have to go into research mode. I did very well in research in college, so I'm a very good researcher. And I can go all the way down till I come out in China, boo-boo. But I'm going to get the truth. Now, I have some other friends who just use their own spidey senses. They use their internal nature. They use how they feel about something to dictate what they're going to do. Even if the rest of the world is doing it, they're like, I don't think so. Some don't sound right. It doesn't feel right to me. I'm not going to do it. And they don't. I have both. Spidey senses kick up. The hair on the back of my neck stands up. I'm like, uh-oh, and something got to change. I'm not doing it. I got to do some research. I got to go down a whole other avenue, buy some books, all kind of stuff. Speak to doctors, look at lectures, look at all these different forums, all kind of stuff, because I am not taking the face value or taking these things on face value like they want us to. Nah. I haven't had Kool-Aid in a number of years, and I'm not about to start drinking it now. Feel me? So I have touched on this before, but I'd like to reiterate because I know some of you are new to my show, and I do encourage you to go back in the archives and listen to past shows and prior shows. I have, you know, by the grace of God, been doing this with the Neonation Network, for almost 4 years. Wow, time flies. Okay, so go back in the archives and get your life because I don't waste time. Okay, when I do research, I'm in depth, and I want to dig down and come up sweet so that y'all can really understand, and overstand what's going on in this world. Because I'm telling you right now, even good old MSNBC is full of crap. They lying to you. And I like MSNBC. They're lying because they got to get a check. And when I researched again, we now have pharmaceutical companies that have major stock in these television networks. And so they're the ones that are going to control the narrative for their pocket. Not to make anybody feel better, do better, be better. No. No. It's just to line their pockets, which is why you had individuals in their companies such as Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca coming out against what was going on with regard to coronavirus and the vaccine. They came out and talked about how something's not right. I wouldn't give this vaccine to my child. And they work for the company. I didn't take it. And they work for the company. So we've got to think more, okay, because I feel like we look at what's going on TV and, you know, we get all excited about propaganda. You know, know, if I pass another black church that says, oh, pray for Ukraine, I might throw up. And I don't mean to sound callous, but the only thing I pray for my enemy is mercy by the Creator. But I also know karma is alive and well. So that'll hit him. And that's cool. That'll hit him. I'm not getting myself all riled up because right now we've got war in Somalia, parts of Ethiopia, Yemen, and other parts of the world are suffering. And that is not at all being televised, not at all being discussed, not at all. I didn't pass by the church and said pray for Somalia, even though it's a black church. Y'all feel me? So we get real excited, and we get all sucked in, and we get our emotions all sucked in to whose agenda and for what. Again, I'm not looking forward to these 107,000 Ukrainians coming over here. No, I'm not. Sorry. And what's funny is that melanin recessive individuals, a.k.a. so-called white people, they might get their panties in a bunch in a minute about it, too, because they'll realize, like, oh, you know, it ain't going to be the Mexicans taking your job. It's going to be them. They'll turn on them in a heartbeat. Wait for it. So even if you look at the television schedule, all right, if you look at Netflix and the different movies that are coming out on Netflix, have you ever asked yourself why there's so much gloom and doom? Why is there so much negativity and hell and what have you being purported as being fashionable? They make hell look like a place you really want to go to. What? And it goes deeper than that. You need to read the book, The Delectable Negro, by Vincent Woodward. It details human consumption and homoeroticism within the U.S. slave culture. Yes, white people used to eat us. Some probably still do. But we were eaten by white people. You might not know, but it is also noted that after the killing of Nat Turner, they ate him. Marinate on that for a second. Now, this may sound far-fetched to some of you because you may not be aware of history, but even after lynchings and burning of our bodies, they used to snap pieces off and take them home for souvenirs. It was not uncommon for them to nibble on a charred ear of a recently lynched and burned man. They would cut off knuckles, breasts, feet, ears, noses, other body parts, and take them home as souvenirs. Think about that for just a moment. Because they always want to say that it's the Africans that participated in cannibalism. No, we did not. You can't find that anywhere. I have not come across that at all in any of the African studies that I've ever researched. I have never, ever come across cannibalism in Africa. But we got a hell of a lot of it here. And I need you to think about what type of mindset an individual has to have to not only look at a person with such denigration as, quote unquote, an enslaved African, right? Less than human. But after you set me on fire, you eat me? Or you might even eat me raw. Like my finger, my hand, my elbow, like you just gnawing on my elbow. Really? This was popular practice. They don't like to talk about it. That's why you got to read the book, The Delectable Negro. It's a book by Vincent Woodward. Moving on. Another book, Iceman Inheritance, Prehistoric Sources of Western Man's Racism, Sexism, and Aggression by Michael Bradley. And he breaks down the violent, lackful, gruesome experience that melanin recessive people had in Northern Europe during the last ice age. From a scientific standpoint, and I'm going to get deep, so stay with me. Those individuals who were melanin dominant, because it's the melanin dominant human from Africa that migrated into every corner of this earth. However, when we migrated up into Northern Europe before the Wormian Ice Age, which is the last ice age, we got trapped above the 51st parallel by a mile-high wall of ice that did not thaw for thousands of years. I think 2,000. So these people, if they did not have access to saltwater fish or intense direct sunlight, they began to lose their melanin. They began to turn white. Hair follicles straightened out, nose got all skinny, lips got skinny, because you didn't need these particular attributes, if you will, when you were in the cold. You can't, I mean, you needed them in the cold. You didn't need them in the heat, in the warmth of Africa and other areas south of the 51st parallel. So our wide noses were so that we could breathe more oxygen because it was hot. Even our curly, beautiful hair that unfortunately so many women kill when they perm it, our hair was specifically designed in a 9-ether spiral so that we could absorb sunlight and our scalp wouldn't necessarily burn. Now, you have other areas in Africa where people don't have hair. They have a low, low haircut, or some of them are bald. But their skin did not burn. Okay? Their skin did not burn. Unfortunately, the melanin recessive individual went through hell and high water above the 51st parallel. Everything becomes lackful. You don't have fruit and vegetables growing plentifully like you do in the south. You don't have sunlight that is intense enough to keep you brown, if you will. Okay? You don't have certain things. So those individuals turned into what we call white people now, but they became deficient in every way. So not only were they melanin recessive, but they became deficient in their bones, less calcium, deficient in their muscular structure. Okay, and the big one, ta-da-ta-ta, is their pineal gland became calcified. Now, this is important because your pineal gland is a cute little gland. It sits right in the middle of your head. They often call it the third eye. But your pineal gland is responsible for your spiritual growth and your connection to, like, all living things and your connection to Source or the Creator's Creator or God. Without it, how do you think you would be if you did not have this connection? How do you think you would behave if you no longer had a connection to all living things and to Source? You would act like a barbarian, which is what happened. So by having this issue, now you're messing up all kind of stuff because your pineal gland also secretes melatonin and serotonin. Melatonin is secreted at night when it's dark, and serotonin is secreted during the day. Serotonin is known as the happy neurotransmitter. The happy transmitter. Our sleep cycles depend heavily on those two hormones, melatonin and serotonin. Okay? Both serotonin and melatonin are both hormones that regulate various human appetite and mood. So again, if you can't secrete melatonin and your secretion of serotonin gets jacked up, are you sleeping well? No. Maybe you're going to become more angry, violent. Follow me. Okay? So serotonin, which is a neurotransmitter, means that it's responsible for sending messages between nerve cells. Melatonin is neurotransmitter-like. Okay, and it plays a vital role in regulating circadian rhythms, which in turn controls sleeping patterns, hormone release, body temperature, and among many other human functions, okay? Our sleeping patterns, hormone release, and body temperature, okay, as you know, are regulated by melatonin. The pineal gland, or epiphysis, synthesizes and secretes melatonin, a structurally simple hormone that communicates information about environmental lighting to various parts of the body. Ultimately, melatonin has the ability to entrain biological rhythms and has important effects on reproductive function of many animals. The light-transducing ability of the pineal gland has led some to call the pineal gland the third eye. The ancient Africans knew this and thus created the Eye of Horus. Our genius remains insurmountable, as far as I'm concerned, because the diagrams that our ancient Africans would be able to create with regard to different headdresses that they had and different symbols are often related to the brain. Like Kepra, the beetle, that's the top picture of the top of the brain. You know, the Eye of Horus is your pineal gland, your abdula oblongata, your frontal lobe, your cerebral cortex. All of those things are in the Eye of Horus, okay? Very interesting. Now, I have to say, and I'm just going to say this real quick, in no way am I pointing these things out to be quote-unquote racist. That is not what I'm doing, okay? Even though I can't be racist, I can only be prejudiced, and I'm not even prejudiced, but my intention is to spark your mind and to make you think and look at the way the world works right now. It's beyond outrageous how things these days, how things are these days. But if we fail to see it, it will only continue. How can we change it if we don't acknowledge it? And this is me talking. We've been so displaced, and we're constantly under attack. So this week, I deliberately put pictures of how major fashion moguls steal our patterns and turn them into high-priced articles of clothing and art. Okay, even the Louis Vuitton logos came from Africa, but we don't know it. And I remember back in 2010, I was on tour with Les Nubians, and we were watching some videos. And the CEO of LVMH came out of his face. LVMH is Louis Vuitton, Moet, and Hennessy. This man, melanin recessive white man, came out of his face and said, "We don't make our products for niggas." I had to rewind it. I was like, "What?" He said it. He was like, "We do not make our products for niggas." I was like, "Work. You will not have to worry about me buying anything Louis Vuitton ever again. You ain't got to worry about me sipping on no Hennessy because I never liked it anyway. And you don't have to worry about me buying Moet because it's overrated as far as champagne is concerned." I found that to be intense. I was like, "Whoa." You know what I mean? Meanwhile, too many of us still don't know this. You got melanin-dominant folks breaking their necks to get a Louis bag, drink some Hennessy, sip on some Moet, just unwittingly. All right? I'm not buying any of it, and I suggest you do the same. Gucci is also on my list. They ain't never come off my list since they put out that winter hat that was like a ski mask that had minstrel lips on it. That was not okay. They lost me at that point, and I liked Gucci. No more Gucci for me. We have to learn that we have to stop supporting these entities that subjugate us and discriminate against us. We keep making our enemies wealthy. What kind of ignorance is that? If we can't claim ignorance when it comes to the law, then we shouldn't be able to claim it with regard to corporations and companies that exploit and make a mockery of us. That then becomes stupidity, yes? I had mentioned those pictures that I have in the slideshow. I mentioned them on Instagram, and very quickly a troll hit me up denying what I had stated. I was like, "Really? The culture vultures continue to feed off of our genius and prowess. Neocolonialism has no respect for indigenous creations, none, never has, never will. Even Pablo Picasso, the artist, was hugely influenced by African art. Impressionism and Cubism were art styles in Africa centuries before Picasso was even born. Did you know? But if one is ignorant of this, they will easily give the credit to Picasso. Again, even classical music, people do not understand, overstand, or understand. White European people did not create classical music. We did. The greatest of the greats, Mozart, was black. His name was Tovenet. He was a Moor. One of the greatest classical musicians of all time. And others. Even, I said this last week, but I'm going to say it again, Alexander Pushkin is the creator of the modern Russian language. Alexander Pushkin is a black man. He was a black Russian. It is noted that Ivan the Terrible built St. Peter's Church in Russia, that beautiful building with all the turrets on it that look like ice cream cones. A black man. Ivan the Terrible was black. Maybe that's why they called him Ivan the Terrible, because he was black. Are you following me? So we have got to take time out to learn our own history. It is available for us to learn and research. My house is full of books for a reason. Knowledge is power, and power is freedom. We have got to get to a point where we can get ourselves back on top of the horse, not riding like the underbelly of it or getting trampled by it, and we have some semblance of control over ourselves, our families, our communities, our everything, because these other individuals do not care about us. As I mentioned earlier, they don't even care about themselves. They will slit their grandmother's throat in a heartbeat. So while we look at what's going on between Ukraine and Russia, while we look at what North Korea just did by creating a whole weapon system, nuclear weapon system that they just tested out, while we look at China and how wild and off the chain they are, like, these people have a lackful, fearful mentality. The European in general has a fearful mentality. This is why I think they create so many movies, programs, and things around entertainment, even musicals, that want to make death and hell seem attractive. Right on. My brother said no loyalty. They have no loyalty towards each other. You can see that with Donald J. Trump. You can see that with Lindsey Graham, Mitch McConnell, and all these other people. You can see it clearly. There's no loyalty. No real respect. The only thing they do respect is money. Money is nothing, y'all. We know that. Yeah, we got to have it, but isn't your integrity a little more important than some money? Isn't your peace of mind more important than money? I'm not saying that we don't have to have, yes, we have it. We need to have it. We're going to pay rent. We got to buy clothes, buy food, la, la, la. Okay, fine. But it's not our end all to be all. It is not our existence on this planet. We are not, as I said before, we are not here to get the back. We're here to be enlightened. We're here to grow. We're here to love each other. We're not here for all this other stuff that neocolonialism and the barbarians have thwarted upon us. We're not here for that. We got to get that in check. There are so many things that they have used, especially religion, to jack our asses up. They have used these things to mess with us. Maybe the origin of it was pious and gentle, but as we have moved forward in history, and they have become nothing but tools of destruction. Death, rape, misogyny, all this mess out of religion, really? But they hook you into it. And as I study more and more and more, I'm never going to stop studying. That's for sure. That's my line. That's my lane. That's what I do. I love studying because I get truth, and I have to live in truth. It is important and it is essential for us to live in truth. When we don't, we fail. We fail. I'm not interested in a whole lot of other people. I already know where their mindset and where their head is based on how they behave and what they do. That should be clear and apparent. Some of these people, y'all love these Hollywood stars like they're your kinfolk. Y'all better let up off of that. Unless you're really related to them, who gives a damn? They've been contaminated by Hollywood anyway, / Hollywood. Remember when I told you all what Hollywood was? Remember when I told you, oh, yeah, the Jews run Hollywood. Y'all know the Jews run Hollywood. But why is it called Hollywood? Because Hollywood was actually used to make magic wands during the time of Merlin, who was black. What do you use a magic wand for? To cast spells on people, yes? That's what Hollywood is. We got to snap out of it. I say, you will know them by their fruit. Because my people are hitting me up tonight. I love this. I'm like, seriously, you know the wicked by their fruit. And what do we have? What is going on? Even the last few days, all we want to talk about are how black people are losing it. You know, the brother on the subway shooting the people in the kneecaps and what have you. Nobody died, but yet and still, his sentence is going to be so ridiculous. But nobody's dead. He was popping off on the legs and the shins and the kneecaps. He didn't hit no arteries. Nobody's dead. But yet and still, they're going to throw the book and every other thing at that brother. Quick sidebar. I thought it was a little special that people kept saying that he was 5'5", 5'6", 5'6", about 180 pounds. No, no, no. Boo-Boo was about 5'8", 5'9", and definitely about 270, 285. Like, what? Y'all don't know how to look at somebody and see how much they weigh no more. Just saying, the whole eyewitness accounts of it all. But he gonna get it. You had a mall shooting in Columbia, South Carolina. You have another shooting at a house party that occurred over the weekend, but they're only going to show, and I guess this came from on high, because it does. When I say on high, I mean the top executives in the media industry that, you know, tell everybody what to report every day. They're like, all the black people are crazy. No, we're not crazy. We're tired. We're snapping. I'm not condoning it, but I'm just saying, white people have been crazy. Now, black folks are tired. So it's starting to snap. So y'all got to hold on to yourself. Hold on to yourself. Like what I was saying, talk to somebody if you feel depressed or upset. Let out how you feel. Write a journal. Do whatever you got to do. But let it out. Because we have a right to be tired, but we will not have that right to kill and maim and wall out. No, that's not how we do. That's not how we roll, so don't do it. Pull that back. If that's what you're feeling, pull it back. Because they're going to do it. They didn't report and or express how many white people clocked out over the weekend. They didn't talk about how many of them committed whatever crime or whatever city and state that they were in. No, no, no. That got no coverage. Only us. From the subway shooting on, they just want to talk about how now, you know, black people are losing control. We're wild. We're violent. Wild is violent. But we're tired. And so I say, turn that exhaustion into strength. Turn it into knowledge. Get some knowledge. Learn about who you really are so you won't snap. learn about who you are, you can walk and feel so held up, so high. Nobody's going to make you do nothing crazy because you love yourself too much. Why? Because you're the greatest thing. How? Because you're an original man. We are the Homo sapiens sapien. We are the amazing, intuitive, loving individuals on this planet. And yes, you've got melanin recessive people who are this way as well. But we are way more in numbers. Thank you so much, Queen. I love my KK. Thank you, KK. You understand what I'm saying, y'all? I'm always going to stand on this particular square. The square is obtain knowledge of self. I have worked in the prison system. I have worked as a social worker. I've been in education. In every arena I have worked in, when I have applied knowledge of self to my clients or my class, they always come out better. They rise to the occasion. I had special ed students who were climbing off the walls. Once I explained to them and taught them who they were and where they came from, did they not settle down and get it together? Did they not begin to achieve in school? Did they not come out of special ed and then get put in regular ed because they were all right? So many of our children and even us as adults are lost. Why are we lost? Because we don't know who we are. Once you know who you are and that you come from the most magnificent people that have ever blessed the face of this earth, you're going to move and do it in a different way. You're going to feel a little different. Last week, Reverend was on talking about this horrific stabbing with this young girl who stabbed all these people in one instance. And I think somebody died. She's got murder now, murder charges. She's like 14, 15 years old. I'm going to go so far as to say she was. She might not have done that. But I'm not going to say that we don't think about doing stuff to people that piss us off. I'm not going to say that. We think about all kinds of things. But the difference between thinking and actually enacting and doing it are two different things. The main reason why I have not wilded out on people, especially those who have abused me, is because I know who I am. I know I'm a part of something better and higher, and I know that the universal creator's creator will whoop that ass for me. I ain't got to do it. Now, if you personally try to accost me, that's different. But if you've done something to emotionally damage or hurt or abuse me, I'm not going to retaliate by doing something physical to you. I'm going to ride and let the universe handle it, because it will. I know I'm too good for that. I'm too good to come down low and swim around on my belly like a snake to deal with you because you're a snake. I'm going to let you be that snake and let the universal creature's creator bring that ostrich or that elephant to stomp you out, metaphorically speaking. I don't have to do it, but we're lost. We're getting more lost as the days go by, and I'm hoping and thinking, oh, maybe we're moving back to, no, we ain't moving back to, no. I'm seeing us, we're just tripping out, and I'm like, we got to come together. And those of us who I do see come together, beautiful. Congratulations. Keep rocking. I know that's right, Kay. I love my people. Oh, my word. My sister said to me, thank you. You encouraged and motivated me to know thyself. I love you, Queen. Yes. You know, we didn't meet by accident, sis. We have to do better. I got hands up. Okay, hold up. I see hands. Let me. And I see you, Reverend. I see you over there. What are we at? Oh, 850. I'm going to take a quick question, though. 817-503. 817-503. Your mic is open. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you doing? How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing wonderfully. How about yourself? What's your name?
My name is Ashton Smith, and of course, Pastor Don, Junior CEO. He brought me here. Grateful for that.
the Elite 300 winning team.
Oh, Pastor John is my homie. Thank you so much for logging on.
Absolutely. I'm glad to be here. But, yeah, I was listening to what you were saying, man, about a lot of the racism and things like that. And, you know, to present day, I dealt with that myself, and I wrote a book about it.
What's the name of your book?
Yep, my book is called Swimming Upstream to Realize the Dream. Folks can also cash out me at Golden Ashton. I was an athlete in the Special Olympics.
Uh-huh.
Of course, like I said, I don't know if you've ever heard of the Special Olympics or if anybody has. I heard you talk about people with special needs. You know, I'm visually impaired. I didn't necessarily have, like, special needs. I have a visual impairment, but I did the Special Olympics to try to inspire people who had disabilities and people like me. But I found my own self being taken advantage of by the white engine of those who run it. I never got paid for anything that I did, and I walk away a better person for it because the Special Olympics, anybody can Google me under Ashton Smith Special Olympics. Anybody in the sound of my voice or with a computer, we're in the computer age, right? And you can see my image all over ESPN and these networks that are worth billions of dollars, but I don't get a penny or a drop in the bucket.
What was your area of competition?
I swam. I was a swimmer, I competed in the World Games in Dubai and competed in Seattle in 2019. I was never invited back to compete in any games, but I was better than any athlete in 50 years that ever went Special Olympics to the World Games. I was competing against the unified division, people with no disabilities. You know, I was competing in the highest division in their program and never got a dime for it. And a lot of my medals, I had to sell before I had a consultant come into my life last year. I had to sell a lot of my medals during the pandemic to survive, to live, to eat.
Oh, wow.
Special Olympics does not care about us as people. So, yeah, I have a great story, and I continue to push that story and want to tell that story on airways because people need to know we're not helped. Nobody reaches their hands out to help us as athletes. We're exploited. And so writing a book called Swimming Upstream to Realize the Dream, it'll give your audience the detail about my life. When you Google me, it'll give you great articles and history about me that y'all can begin to read on your
own.
I'm
going to look you up.
You should, because I'm telling the truth.
I
told somebody, we don't get paid. So cash out me for those who can and want to, because that money can go toward helping me with things like getting websites created, a press kit. Someone once asked me, if someone wrote you a check, what would you use it for? I would use it to build my career. That's the best answer you could ever give in life. I want to be somebody. Amen. So I want to build my career, and that's an appropriate answer.
The name of the book is Swimming Upstream. What's the rest of it?
To Realize the Dream. It's called Swimming Upstream to Realize the Dream. That book is sold on Amazon and Walmart online, and the public can have it shipped straight to them. I've actually ordered one to see how they turn out, and they're actually real smooth and turn out real well. So they'll be shipped straight to you. Swimming Upstream to Realize the Dream. You folks can also find me on social media under Golden Ashton. You'll be able to find that. Or you'll be able to find me on Facebook under Ashton Smith and start Googling my story, and you'll just understand who I am as a person, as a woman of color. I was a black swimmer in a program where I gave my all for 30 years. So it's like you have to say 30 years is a long time. It's time to get paid for what you do in this life.
Right.
Amen.
Well, we will look you up. I thank you so much for coming on tonight and for sharing this information with us. Again, I say bless you, you beautiful soul. You know, I think, you know, sharing this information with the public and letting people know about the discrimination within the Special Olympics is very important.
Yeah, Google Special Olympics Confederate flag, Texas, the Special Olympics Texas Confederate flag. You'll see that they openly support racism out here. How do I know that in Texas? Because they don't do anything about it. When you go to authorities such as the police, you're banned for life like I was. I was told to never come back. I'm like, no, but y'all use me. But when it comes to crimes or discrimination, you know, when Colin Kaepernick had that issue, I got a talking to about, you know, kneeling down and not doing that when I was an athlete in the Special Olympics when that whole thing was going on. So they want to control you, not just in sports. They want to control you if they feel like you're a part of their business. They feel like they own you.
and I'm not owned by nobody. I'm a human being, and I want to be treated like a human and not property. And for the last 30 years, I've been treated like property and not like a person.
Wow.
And that's unacceptable. I've been left on the streets and homeless because of the Special Olympics. People think they're doing a great deed. You're not. You're donating to leaving us homeless, destitute, and bankrupt. So Google more of my story, and you folks will find out at the end of the day what you're really donating to. Amen?
Yes, we most certainly will. One thing about my audience is that we are very conscious, and we are also very concerned individuals. And so you will receive more support on your book. I'm going to buy your book. I'm definitely going to go to Amazon and buy your book. You know, and again, bless you, and thank
and
you
I'd
so much.
And I'd like to come back as a guest, so however you put,
yeah,
you know, get people on.
I would love to.
Yeah. I'd love
yes.
to, too, so I can give you my information.
Put it down.
You've got everyone else's information, correct?
Yes, sir. Ma'am, excuse me. Yes, ma'am, pardon me.
I know,
yes,
I mean,
indeed.
my voice is not, this is another thing. A lady thought I was a guy, she said, I'm sorry. I said, well, I'm a woman. I said, but I call it God's voice of a blessing. She said, what does that mean? I said, because people, when you project a masculine or rugged tone to you, people leave you the hell alone. And I believe that in this life is God's hedge of protection over my life because people leave me mm-hmm. alone. I ask God three things in this life. Amen. Make me strong. Make me tall. Make me wise. And God made me strong, tall, and wise. I'm 6'3". Wise and strong, all right? So God made me that way, and I'm grateful for it. Amen?
Ashe, I cannot wait to see you. I'm going to Google you. I cannot wait. And we will be speaking again for sure. I would love to have you on, and we could discuss this again further in a future episode. That would be awesome. I have
yes, ma'am, and I'll get you my email. So you're more than welcome to shoot me a message on Facebook, or I can give you my email or phone number, and you're more than welcome to write that down if you want that.
Thank you. Okay. Awesome. And you keep on striving. Stay amazing. Blessings to you, okay?
Hey, thank you so much, man. I certainly appreciate it. You can reach me at 817-503-5995, 817-503-5995. You certainly can reach me at that number. You can also reach the pastor at 602-332-8882, 602-332-8882. So that is
so
absolutely
much.
Perfect, man. Love it. Y'all be blessed.
Thank you, love. And you keep staying amazing and keep pushing.
You too. I hope you had a great Easter. You too.
You, indeed. Bless you, sweetheart.
Indeed. You too. Uh-huh.
Peace and love. Wow. Wasn't that amazing, family? Okay. I love it. I love it. I love it. Oh, my goodness, please. You know, we got to support this sister. Buy her book, Swimming Upstream. I wrote it down. I think it's Swimming Upstream to Achieve Dream. Ashton Smith, please support this sister who was in the Special Olympics as a in the swimming category, and she was a medalist, and she was kicked out because what? She's melanin dominant. She's black, but she's amazing and fantastic, and I just send up much love to her, much love. I'm looking forward to speaking to her again soon. Reverend, I see you. Reverend, 914-363. Come on in here, Reverend.
Oh, man, you have such a wonderful show, and you
thank
hit
you.
So many.
How you doing this week?
You know what? I've been hanging in, holding on, waiting to see what the morning brings. That's what the Baptist preacher told me. So I'm still
okay.
I'm still hanging on. I'm waiting to see what the morning's going to bring. And when the morning brings something, I'm going to let him know what it brought. But they where I'm coming from. But
yes, indeed.
You hit so many intricate points, and you know, it's subsequently so important. The brother that made the movie Get Out, and I don't know if everybody saw the movie Get Out, and basically
yeah.
the movie was about white people who were stealing internal organs from black people so they can live extensive long time. Mm-hmm. Now, there was a young brother about 3-4 years ago. I don't know if anybody ever continued to follow the story. I think he was
what,
out
in
west
high school?
Somewhere. He was a high school player, I think he played football, right? But him and a white kid got into an argument, a fight or whatever, and they had a constant back and forth because I think they played for the same team. But the white
mm-hmm.
boy's father was a sheriff of the police department in that town. I think it was out west. And somehow they got into a really bad fight. And somehow the young black boy when they look at the videotape, the young black boy was in the gym, and somebody
right.
wrapped him up in the
mat.
Right, somebody wrapped him up in there, and the strange thing was, his parents didn't know where he was at,
right.
and the school did not know according to the instructions. But the video showed the two white boys, sheriff's sons, coming
yep.
out of the gym.
Yes,
so,
with blood on his shirt and everything.
Putting two and two together, right? The yep. other strange thing was, the young man, when they finally got him to the autopsy and whatnot, his internal organs were gone.
Right. Yes, indeed.
Then
mm-hmm. after they got his body from the school, they took him and
go.
They removed his organs.
But it became very noticeable that several instances in different states, similar situations where young black men internal organs were removed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They went missing. Family couldn't find them. When they did found them, they found them in a very peculiar place, and they found all their internal organs gone. You mentioned the dominance, the physiological dominance, the biological dominance, the internal dominance of a
mm-hmm.
black structured body.
Mm-hmm.
Mind, body, and soul, internal organs. My mom died at 101 years old a couple of years ago. White people was amazed at my mother's skin. That
mm-hmm.
it didn't wrinkle. I'm not saying it didn't wrinkle, but it didn't wrinkle to the extent of a person
right.
of that age.
Right.
People are so surprised. I meet white men who are 45 and 50 and some 38 that I thought was my age, 72. And when they find out that I'm 72, they're amazed
mm-hmm.
at my skin.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't pay no attention, but they were amazed at it. And they said, Ron, you saw you 72? Ron, I said, listen, I ain't playing no game. I'm going to sit around and play like I'm 72. You know,
right.
but it's amazing. It's amazing to them. And it's amazing to them when they talk to me on the phone and they says, Ron, you know what's going down with the rap music? And I say, no, I'm not into that. You know, I'm this age and this is my kind of music I like. They say, geez, you that? I thought you was a young guy. I thought you was, you know, 35, 40 years old, they say, from the way they hear me speak. And I know it's a little complicated for them because they don't understand us. What I'm trying to say to us is this, okay? I'm gonna say something about the slap with Will Smith. I'm just giving an example. I'm not saying this is the case fact of these brothers, but let me say this. When a particular group in a society has been abused over and over and over again, it's somehow abusiveness becomes a part of the nature. Whether it's internal abuse of oneself, whether it's external abuse of others, but somehow abuse becomes that particular group's nature in that society because that society is psychologically socializing abusiveness
mm-hmm.
to them. Now,
mm-hmm.
here's what I'm saying. Would Chris Rock have said, whether he knew she had opalacia or not, would he have said that to a white woman who came
no.
in ball into the affair? Would Will Smith have smacked a white man if he said
no.
that to Jada? So
uh-huh.
I'm saying to us, psychologically and sociologically and internally and externally, we have a sense of abusiveness, not only to from them, but to translate that abuse to one another.
Right.
You have to be careful. When you're in an abusive relationship, you see the woman. I had an aunt who was in an abusive relationship, and
mm-hmm.
she found many ways. Well, back in those days, she had four daughters. She had the husband in South Carolina. It's very hard for a woman to say, you know what, I'm out, you know, because it was very difficult to get a job, discrimination and stuff like that. But she became so complacent with the abuse that she made up millions of excuses for it. And
mm-hmm.
and became the abuse. My mother said, this is my mother, not the youngest sister, but one of my mother's sisters. My mother said, you know what, she became so used to the abuse that she found reason for it. You
right.
understand what I'm saying? You know what? I fell. Oh, you know what? I didn't see that. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
I was playing with, her husband's name was Frank. I was playing with Frank, and me and Frank were just boxing a girl, and you know Frank is tough. And, you know, making up excuse after excuse. I grew up loving this woman, one of my favorite aunts, but I knew one day I said I might end up killing Frank, you know, because I loved her so much. And I was a kid when this was going on and nothing I could do about it. And my mom and dad would talk about it. And I would, and then my Uncle John, my mother's brother, younger than her, used to go there and beat Frank up. And it was just it was a disaster. And then the little girls would cry because their daddy getting beat up. But I'm just saying, she got so entangled into the abuse to my aunt had to make up excuses for it because she wanted to stay with Frank.
Right.
Okay. She wanted to stay, and it might have been circumstantial. It might have been that because she had no other place to go. It might have been a whole bunch of things. But I'm just saying to people, sometimes you become complacent in an abusive relationship that you decided that something is wrong with you. Maybe I did wrong. To the point
I've had many clients.
Listen, I've had many clients.
I have friends who've been in abusive relationships, and they make those excuses for it. And I'm like, whoa. Like, you can get used to it.
My mother was a tough woman, and my father was a tough man, but my father did not mess with my mother. My mother said, no, baby. You don't put your hands on me. And she told Frank many a times, you know, she might say all the excuses. My mother said to him, listen, if I ever see you, put your hands in my presence on my sister, it's going to be a day. It's going to be a day. And my mother didn't play. But I'm going to say this My aunt got to the point where she would make up lie after lie after lie after lie to the point of internal disaster for herself. And I told my mother when I got old enough, I said, Mom, listen, you know, she's not as strong as you. She don't see things the way you do. She's been in this thing so long till she's making excuses for something she'd probably cry every night about. But eventually my mother was able to assist her in getting out of that relationship. And, you know, when the kids got grown or whatever, she ended up out of the relationship. But I'm just saying that to make people understand that abuse is real. Abuse of a person, whether it's physiological or psychological. Abuse
and psychological
is
worse.
Yes.
I mean, not that
it's much
is
worse.
Good, but psychological is way more detrimental than physical abuse, always.
Yes.
People don't realize, but that's the real.
And you know, sometimes when you're married or you're in a relationship and things go bad and, you know, people try to find the worst thing they can say. And I grew up in an environment that people used to say, never tell your wife or your husband this and this and this, little private things about you, because when you get mad, it's going to come back at you. They're going to throw it at you. And a lot of times, you know, when you love somebody, you'll say, hey, look, baby, you know what? In 19 and whatever it is, I did such and such and such a thing, and you figure she loved you, you love her, and that's going to be the end of it. No, it's not. When relationships stop to get bad, people find whatever it is, people, to say to you to hurt you, because that's what it is. And most of the time, in terms of women, because of they're not as physically strong as a man, a different kind of structure, they're going to use whatever verbiage they can use to break you down in that moment, because the extremity of the abuse is so much that at some point there's a breaking point. You know, at some point, like my aunt, she broke. And when she broke, I mean, she broke him, you know, physically. It just too much. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so what I see in America, I see abusive relationship that somehow we started, if you watch us as a people over the period of years in the history, we started to find excuses for it. We started to try to, especially our educated black people who sit high in certain positions, they sort of downplay slavery and make it sound like a mistake where somebody stepped on your foot and they didn't say sorry. It's more than that. It's more heavy than that. I want to tell you all something. Babies was used as foot warmers, people. Babies were used as foot warmers. How dehumanizing, how ignorant, and how evil can a person be to take a baby and put his cold feet on top of the baby? That tells me you have no humanity, you have no feelings, and you're an animal, you're barbaric, you're the savage of the savages. And so like you say,
Elizabeth
the savages,
does that.
bigot. The savage is dumb. But we as a people have to self-medicate in terms of internal psychological control of our emotions and states of feelings. And another thing you said, which is very important, but let's understand it from its developmental process. You said stop calling yourself things that dehumanize you and put you in a subservient in a dehumanizing position, which is black, a negativity.
And we don't even
right?
know that. Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the thing that we have to understand about that. That's a, you're right, but it's a double standard. See,
yeah.
See, we gotta realize this. The like my aunt, she had to find a reason why Frank was abusing her, so she made up all these excuses. Or Frank is abusing because of this. We sometimes, and I'm not saying you're doing this, but psychologically we sometimes say, well, you know what? If we didn't call our if we call ourselves yellow instead of orange, they wouldn't mess with us, you know. But I want us to understand something. When people do not like you and people have bad intentions for you, I don't care whether you call yourself Boogaloo. They're going to come after you. They don't see what people don't like about people. The Bible always said the devil ain't coming for the weak. The devil ain't coming for the sick. He ain't coming from the complacent. He ain't coming for those who conform. He ain't coming for those who do whatever he want them to do. He's coming for the person that's fighting against everything that he's trying to develop. And the fact that we are rising up and above and beyond, and they don't understand, because in Europe, when you kept the whites down, the poor whites, the subservient whites that they kept down, and there was a royal family and somebody was much better, because Europe is about class. So if you had no class, they just kept you down, and they stayed down for thousands of years. There are people right now cleaning the royal family's house. Their grandmother 100 years ago cleaned the same damn house, and their grandfather did the yard 2,000 years ago. So they haven't changed what? But black people are rising up to a better position. We're in a better position than anybody right now. Ireland is still, after thousands of years, Ireland is still trying to get England the hell out of their way so that they can live a better life. Thank you. But we are here, and we are thriving, and we are moving, and they don't understand it. They do not understand, whether we like it or not, whether you understand it or not, they don't understand how a Ketanji Brown can become a Supreme Court justice, and how, even though I don't like Clarence Thomas, how two black people can sit on the highest court in the land. They don't understand that. You understand? They don't understand how, whether you like her or not, how a sister, Kamala Harris, can sit and be the vice president of the United States after she don't call the running mate a racist and say that she integrated a white system. They don't understand, people. Whether we like it or not, they don't understand. And whether you like these people or not, they don't understand. They don't understand how we go from the plantation to the corporation, and we're still striving, we're still alive, and we're still achieving above and beyond, and we're the greatest. And when you talk about statistical facts, people, you have to check something out. We're 17% of the population, 47 million of us. If you check out the stats, and they're 260 million, when you compare the stats, we are more far gone than they are. With all the years that they had ahead of us, 200, 300 years of power and control and putting themselves into all these different things, and we are rising every day. A black man and a black woman, one thing I can tell you about us, we might not have to do it all together, but a black man and a black woman going to strive. Black sisters are way beyond. Black sisters have achieved above and beyond what any black person is supposed to achieve. Thank you, Madam Malone, the first female millionaire in America. Don't say the first black. She's the first female. All these other white women got their money through daddy and mommy and the husband. She got her money through hard work. Exactly. Who can do that coming out of slavery? She was a post-enslaved person. As a child, she was enslaved, and as an adult, she was a millionaire. You think white people understand that? They don't understand that. The woman never had a formal education. Thank you. Who you think they're not scared that we're so blessed by God that we're God?
No, like, that's what their propensity is. They're afraid of everything.
They're fearful. And what we have to realize, sometimes when you put fear in somebody's heart, whether it's, you know, and I always tell people it's better to control by love and contentment and respect than by fear. But
yes,
when you put fear, whatever it is, however it comes, and sometimes it comes and you don't even know it's there. A great basketball player, Michael Jordan, did not know all these guys would be hating him because he's the greatest. Nobody knew that. LeBron James didn't know that. Denzel Washington didn't know that. I mean, when you become a great person, you don't know who's going to hate you, who's going to love you. Some of the same people you think that's going to be your rah-rah-rah, they're not loving it. People sometimes cannot get into your excitement of things that you're doing because they don't understand it. When I achieved the first person in my family to get a PhD, okay, ain't all my family members saying, oh, God, thank you, sir, thank you, oh, great. A lot of them say, well, he thinks he's somebody. Look at him, light-skinned, he talking like a white man. But everybody then, when I made my first meeting at 18, all of my friends then rah, rah, rah for me. A lot of them talked about me behind my back, but they were begging me for money. Okay, a lot of my family begged me for money, but talked behind my back. Because a lot of people, but that's fine. That's the ignorance. But this is what I'm saying. When you in an abusive society and you the abused portion of that society, when your race of people have been abused for so many years, you're not going to get all what you think you should get. Everybody's not going to run on the same battery charge. Some people are going to be half charged, some people going to have no charge at all, and some people are going to be overcharged. So you have to understand the conditioning. I came up in dirt poor South Carolina. Everybody didn't understand what I was doing because everybody couldn't achieve what I achieved. But instead of being happy and trying to learn from me, they were more upset and denouncing me because they were jealous of me. And the Bible says there's that sinful nature of jealousy that people have. And that's something that we have to understand. And that comes from all walks of life. And sometimes you gotta pick and choose your battles, people, because sometimes the people sitting right next to you look just like you. Is not there for you. They're sitting there not because they like you. They're sitting there because what you can do for them. And when you stop doing for them, because I'm going to tell you a little something too, as well as I achieved the millionaire status at 18, at 38 I lost everything, became homeless. Not a person that I helped came to my aid. So I'm just letting y'all know, sometimes you have to see it for what it is and show God that you know he is the starter and the finisher of your faith, whatever your beliefs are. I'm not preaching here to nobody. I'm just saying, without the creator, if I did not know what my grandmother told me when I was 10 years old, she said, honey, hold on to that unchanging hand. Hold on to that person that's not going to turn against you when you're down and out. Hold on to a person who can lift you up when you're down. If I did not know God for myself, whatever content I see God in, if I did not know him, I would not be here today because nobody came to my aid. I was too ashamed to tell my mama. I lost my father at 18 years old. I was too ashamed to go to my mother, who lost her husband, to tell her the condition I was in after having been in such a wonderful condition. It just was my self pride. But I'm just saying to people, sometimes you got to see things for what they are. You got to take things for who and take people who they are. Maya Angelou, thank you so much, Maya Angelou. She said, when a person show you who they are the first time, don't try to change it the second time or the third time. Still see them as who they are, and keep yourself protected from it. So people, America, African-American people, black people, melanin people, Ethiopian people, some people call yourself Afrocentric, Nubian people, whatever you call yourself, brothers and sisters, understand one thing. You're in a condition that's unusual. You're in a condition that sometimes even the people that come against you don't know why they come against you. Sometimes the people in your own group that come to understand, Dr. King wasn't loved by everybody. If y'all don't know that, I can tell you. He was not loved, baby. I was in the movement. And I'm not talking about people outside of the movement. I'm not talking about black people who didn't believe in Jesus. I'm talking about the people who believe in Jesus was right there in the movement, was not with him. They had all kind of things to say about him. And Abernathy came out and said, oh, he loved white women. He's married to her, but he's around the corner with a white woman. Come on, people. This is what goes on. This is what goes on. Everybody was not with Malcolm X. right there next to him, did not like a lot of things about him. What wasn't man or woman enough to step up and say it in his face. A lot of people don't like Farrakhan. They sitting there and they pretending, but they don't like him. There's a lot of people, they don't like Talis Smiley and the state of the black America when he does that every year. A lot of people don't, they sitting there to get, they want their ticket or they want their invitation to sit there at that table and blah, 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 and talk. But a lot of them don't even have good things to say about Talis Smiley when the woman accused him of sexual abuse. He never got a trial. He never got the job to reevaluate him or to look at what happened. They told him the day he walked into the office, Queen, they said, "You are fired." Because this lady made a statement, never gave the brother a chance to say, They had his office locked, his things downstairs with the security. They told him, do not come into the building. Okay? So I'm just showing y'all the kind of abuse that sometimes happens internally and people don't understand it. So when you find brothers and sisters at the top acting a little crazy or saying something out of the way, sometimes you better stop and listen. Because everybody ain't in love with everybody. And Queen could tell you, you know, she can tell you. And I know from her spirit and the way she talk and how she put things straight, I know she been in that position where she found out all them snakes that she thought was rabbits turned out to be snakes. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, sister?
Yeah.
I know you know about it. I know you know about them people you thought was, that's my homegirl. She down with me. And come to find out, she trying to get your man. Come on now, y'all. Let's break it down. You think the boy, you think that's your homeboy, he down with you, trying to be your friend, and he trying to get your wife. Come on now, y'all. It's the way it is. But let me tell you something. You got to stand right. You got to stand right. You can't say, well, he did that to me. Let me do that to him. I seen too many brothers say, I got brothers right now, Sister Queen, 70 years old, telling me, oh, you know, Joe went with my wife, and I'm going to go with his wife. I say, are you out your damn mind? Are you out your damn mind? You don't like for he went with your wife, and he did not rape your wife. Your wife, you know, this is something going on a long time, maybe. I don't know. But ain't no sense you doing the same thing he doing, and you don't like it. Now y'all going to do, now y'all going to war. You understand? I'm talking about 70-year-old people.
Oh, I dig
going
it.
To war over some craziness.
Oh, yeah.
But we as a people, let me tell you something, y'all. If y'all don't know, and I've been around a long time, we as a people, us, whatever you call yourself, how do you identify, we in some real mean stuff, baby. We in some real mean confusion. An older sister told me, she said, baby, sit down, let me tell you something. These black folks, and this woman ain't got no PhD in nothing. She barely made it through high school, but she was smart. She said, honey, let me tell you something, baby. These black folks around here, she said, be careful. Because every door ain't closed and every eye ain't shut. And every mouth ain't talking the truth, son. She said, be careful. She said, these same people here that you think love you and you love them, she said, be careful. They ain't for you. They ain't about you. Don't care about you. And I took that into another direction and started to stay with these people, and all I got was hell on top of hell. And I'm not talking about the white cracker. I'm not talking about the KKK and the Nazis and the skinheads and all them crazy people. I'm talking about the brothers and sisters that said black power. I'm talking about I was in every movement since movements were moving, y'all. You know what I'm saying? And I've seen some crazy stuff go down. I've heard some stuff that I didn't believe. I couldn't believe the brothers were saying certain things to me. I couldn't believe certain things were being set up and getting ready to be done. But I tell you something, from that I've learned that sometimes you got to be prepared for, you know, there was an old man used to say down south, he said, son, go in with the worst. Don't go in with the good. Go in with the worst. Because when it happened, it ain't going to hurt you. So expect the worst. You know, prepare yourself for the worst. It's like going to war, he said. If you prepare yourself for the worst, you're going to be prepared for whatever comes at you. Prepare yourself for the worst. And that's what I say to us as a people. But I'm not saying get crazy, do nothing out of the way. But like Queen said, the brother went on the train and shot some people. Psychological things going on. And they're using all these people. They're putting... They're releasing psychological people into the community because they're getting just what they want. Or you know what, that bail reform, see what that bail reform did? Every criminal got to be released. But don't y'all stop to think that when the judges didn't have bail reform, all the good people that had jobs and trying to and just jumped the train style or did a jaywalk was going to jail still. A little boy stole 50 cents, and they were trying to get him 100 years in jail. Come on now, y'all. Now, all of a sudden, the judges so bound to this bail reform. They got to let everybody go because of bail reform. Well, I think I beg to differ, Mr. Judge, because you've been doing what you want to do forever. Every judge in court that I've been in for the last 50 years would say to me, as a representative of the chaplain community and the civil rights community, and I'm going to, as a professional witness, they say, well, Mr. Robinson, you can come here preach. Don't come here preaching in here because I don't take that to my court. That's his court when I walk into them doors. He already explained to me. He didn't want to hear about Jesus and nothing else and just make my statement on behalf of my clients and get the hell out because I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. And another thing, let me tell you people, when the judges and the lawyers go to them chambers, they ain't going back there to drink tea and coffee and talk about the sports. They're going back there to say what they're going to do from the beginning of your case to the end of your case. It's already been predescribed and predetermined in them judges' quarters. So we're in a condition as a people, and I tell young people this all the time, and it was told to me when I was a kid. My daddy told me, he said, boy, you got to be twice as good as a white man. You can't even jaywalk. Don't even chew gum and skip. Don't even spit on the concrete because they're going to come after you. And Lord knows he was right. Every little thing I did was a problem. Everything. My kids went to private school in Connecticut. My kids, I'm talking about 5 and 6 years old. How much can a person do? But everything my kids did, I had to go to teachers' conference and all these meetings. White people next door neighbor tell me, Ron, you know, their son don't stole something from the teacher, stole something out of her pocketbook, went and bought a soda. He ain't and never. I said, you ain't go to a PPTLKY meeting. No, they didn't call me.
Nothing.
They said, give them back the $10 and Johnny will be good. And I gave them 20. I could have did that. I was a millionaire. I could give them 45 if they wanted it. But that's the way it is. The conditions are the way they are, and we have to prepare ourselves for the conditions. We are doing beautifully. The majority of us are doing wonderful. It's just that that small minority, they're going to keep pushing it, like Queen say. They're going to keep showing you it. In the next coming years, you're going to see more black people robbing, stealing, cheating, and killing, and doing all kind of crazy stuff because they're going to promote it. Why? Because they want to make us the problem, not them.
Yeah.
A white woman, I saw 10 white people in the last 6 months said something on the news that knocked me the hell out. They said, if America wants to decrease crime and decrease violence in America, please arrest some white people. Hello, somebody. Hello.
Come on.
Hello. If 45% of the crimes, according to the FBI statistics, not me people, FBI statistics say 45% of the crimes are committed by white people, but they only represent 1 to 5% of people who's incarcerated. So what that tells me? That tells me 95% of the white people walking up and down the street. You know that old saying, look to your left, look to your right, and maybe one of them people might be a killer. Well, the white people, you look to your left, right, back, and front, they're a killer. Because most of them are free. That's why white people do what they do, because white people are not afraid of cops. They're not afraid of going to court because they know 9 times out of 10 they're going to get off. 9.5 now, probably about 9.9% out of 10, they're going to get off.
Don't even get indicted, Reverend.
Yes, they don't care. White people, I've been in the car since the 60s and 70s with white people, and I would drive whatever, and the cops would come and stop me. And the white guy, like, what you stopping us for? And I'm like, shut the hell up, It's my license and my car, Well, no, he got the right. And when they get through telling that cop, that cop say, you know what, sir, have a nice day.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm by myself, well, sir, you violated XYZKLK. We had to hold you on the day. And you go down to South Carolina, y'all, if you got $200 or $300 in your pocket to pay them off, you're going to be sitting in jail. I'm telling you, that's the way it is. That's true talk. But wouldn't that make you crazy? All these years and all the hell I done been through, all the bathrooms I couldn't go through, all the places I had to hide, I had a friend whose father was a professor, a traveling professor, PhD from Harvard, okay? My friend used to tell me, he's my age, he tell me, he said, Ron, let me tell you something. I said, man, you had the best life traveling all over America, your father teaching at these different universities, you getting to live in university. He said, brother, it was hell. He said, I can tell you times when my mother and father put blankets over us and told us to stay down, and the cops right. stopped shooting up the car. He mm-hmm. said, brother, it was hell. It was no fun. They were high yellow. They were high yellow with the good hair, almost looked white. And his father was a traveling professor, and the hell they went through going from state to state to state for his father to teach in different places. Why? Because they wouldn't let his father tenure no place. He'll stay for 2 or 3 weeks here, or maybe a month there, and they'll kick him out, and he had to go to another university. It was hell. He told me it was hell. It was a hard time. And I'm saying mm-hmm. to myself, you mean to tell me, and he, my friend is a Harvard law professor, okay? He graduated and did wonderful things. But I mean, I'm saying to people, I had to go to school where white people were throwing stuff on you and beating you up and trying to grab you and had the army to, and I say to myself, by the grace of God, here go I, because how I'm not crazy. I mean, you would be a crazy, under the conditions that we had to live when I was mm-hmm. growing up. And my mama and my daddy and my grandparents, when I think about them and what they went through, and had a great-great-grand-aunt who was a post-slave herself, the things they went through and the things I've heard, you would be out your damn mind. But mm-hmm. by the grace of God, by the grace of the Creator, by the ability to see things, like you say, Queen, so eloquently, sometimes you have to see it for what it is and deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to really look at it. You know, sometimes you have to look at that partner or that mate or that husband or that wife and say, you know something, this ain't working. I've been at this 20 years, 15 years. Me and her ain't really. My brother used to say, if we ain't romantic more than we fighting, then I don't need you. You know, but I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? Common sense things, right? But sometimes the affliction of the righteous is many, but God will deliver us from them all. I thank God for the deliverance. I just want to let all the young people know, stay strong. Keep
yeah.
your commitment to whatever it is that you're trying to achieve. Don't matter what people say. Young people, don't go following everybody and anybody. I know you got all this rap music and all this mess going on and your friends out there doing all kinds of stuff and you look like it's fun, but it's not fun. Black kids don't get the same kind of fun white kids get. It's a two different kind of stories here, people. Stay in being the best person that you can be. Try
mm-hmm.
to find every day a quality that you do not have and try to achieve that equality. Try to erase any kind of deficiencies that you find in yourself, any problems, any things that is lacking, anything that puts you in a psychological derailment. Try to
mm-hmm.
find some kind of peace of mind. Walk in the park. Smell the flowers. Listen to some good music. Try to find something pleasant in your life, people, to keep
oh,
going.
Yeah.
That's how I kept my sanity, Queen. I found
oh,
something
yeah.
good out of something. You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
where I was at, right, being where I was at and the conditions I was in, if I couldn't find nothing good, I'd be out my damn mind. Excuse my language, but I would have been crazy. And I might get crazy now. My younger daughter say, something wrong with you. I say, yes, I had you.
Right.
You know.
Yes, indeed. You know, this is what it is, Reverend. You know what I'm saying? I know my audience is like, wow, it's 9:34. But
I hope I said something that was worth the half an hour.
Drop those jewels. And I wish you a wonderful week ahead. You know, thank you so much for all of your wisdom and all of your knowledge and expertise, honestly. Again, family, this is what we do here on this network, the Neo Nation Network. It's not a joke. It's not a game. It's not a drill. This is what we do. You know, so thank you so much, Reverend. I appreciate you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate you as well.
And family, you know, again, I just wanted to reiterate before I go, I don't mean to confuse anyone when I say that we should not be calling ourselves black. All I'm trying to get you to understand and understand is that in the color of law, black is the lowest human you can be. you can call yourself what you want. I'm still going to use the word because I know that's what we've been socialized to say. But at the same time, I just want you to realize that in the eyes of the law, in the color of law, black is the lowest human being or living thing that you can be. So I just put that feather in your cap. Research that on your own, okay? And please continue to seek knowledge of self. Look up how amazing we really are. There are wonderful, wonderful books that our elder master teachers have written. Many of them have passed on, like Dr. John Henrik Clark and Dr. Ben Yohanan, many, and Dr. Ivan Van Sertima even, amazing human beings. You know, Amos Wilson, Chancellor Williams, John G. James, George M. James, excuse me, George M. Jackson. I mean, we have so many. It's just, it's insane. Even currently, you know, you've got Dr. Umar Johnson. You have Anthony Browder. You've got Kaba Kamene. I love Kaba Kamene. He is amazing. Dr. Kaba is amazing. Okay. My other homie who I can see, and my name, my brain is escaping, but I can see his face as clear as day. Anyway, we have so many wonderful scholars. Dr. Jeffries, Dr. Leonard Jeffries, y'all. Dr. Asa Hilliard. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Neely Fuller, Dr. Francis Kress Welsing. It goes on, y'all. Please, just know who we are. Learn and know who we and who you are. Let that blood in your veins make you stand upright and be strong and be amazing in this world, so that no matter what garbage they throw at you, no matter what they try to say about you and you know it's not true, you know what to stand on, and you stand on the truth of yourself. This is who we are from ancient times to today. Even throughout slavery, every invention that we ever created, though it was stolen, we still created it. Like I said, a black woman created GPS. A black woman created 3D. Okay, black man created the internet, cell phones, all this stuff is us. So sit in yourself, sit in who we are, and let's come together on a spiritual plane so that we can be strong and hold each other's hand and have each other's back on a spiritual plane if we can't be there physically. Okay, let us continue to embrace the truth and seek knowledge of self. Thank you so much, family. This has been a very extended edition, hello, and episode of the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show. It has been my honor and pleasure to bring forth this information to you. It comes through me. I have to share it with you. I want us all to be empowered so we can live our best lives. And even after this life, when we come back, we live a better life. Okay, because the decisions and the moves we make in this life will affect our next life. And that YOLO crap is garbage. You do not only live once. You only live once in this body, but you will be back. We come and go. We come and go. All right, so let's make it easy on ourselves and be righteous in this life. Be truthful and be love and be light so that when you come back, you have a better way to go. Okay, this is what we're doing here, fam. Thank you to everybody who's been listening. Thank you again to Ashton Smith. Please check out her book, Swimming Upstream. I think it's Swimming Upstream to Achieve the Dream. Ashton Smith, it's on Amazon. It's on Walmart.com. I look forward to speaking with Ashton in the future. Check out Pastor Don CEO's show on this network. You know, again, Reverend Ron Robinson and Dr. James Winborn, I give thanks to you for letting me have this platform. You are geniuses in your own right, and I thank you for sharing your genius with me and for allowing me to share mine with you. Also, family, please listen to DJ Pitch Control, PYTCHCONTROLL, on SoundCloud.com. My husband is the most amazing DJ ever, and he puts together mixes that will give you light in life, make you feel good, whether you busting that workout out or you're cleaning the house or you're on the train or you're commuting in your car. Listen to him. The mixes are amazing, and you just feel so good. They make you feel so good. Music is healing, family, so get that healing, okay? Again, I am Queen Amina. I thank you so much for being with us this week. Again, happy birthday to all the Aries. Happy birthday to my big sis, Mary Wormworth. I love you, Mama. And thank you for everybody being on. Thank you, KK. Thank you, Roz. Thank you, Chris and Barbara. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, my husband, of course. Thank you, everybody who is within the sound of my voice. I give thanks for you, and I love you. Blessings, peace, and light to everybody. Have a beautiful week ahead, all right, fam? Be good. Help the old people. Watch out for the babies. Protect each other, y'all. Let's have each other's back out here, okay? Even if you see somebody ready to snap, try to talk them off that ledge, okay? Give them love and light so that they can calm down, all right? Let's love each other a little harder, all right? I give thanks. I give thanks to everybody who's listening. And just please, seek knowledge yourself. Buy those books, y'all. Buy books. Learn up. Get it together because we're amazing and fantastic. So when you know it, oh, my goodness, how life just opens up like a beautiful flower to you when you know it, okay? Not think it, not believe it. Know it. Knowledge is everything. Knowledge reigns supreme, fam. All right? Be good. Love and light. Ashe. One love.